Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're thankful that you are hanging in there, joining in this dialogue and discussion. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question and comment. We're asking the question that after the pandemic, after the coronavirus is over, or supposedly, will we continue as we have before? My answer to you is an emphatic no, 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 10,000 times no. America is being unalterably, irreversibly, indelibly changed forever. They will use the excuse, ladies and gentlemen, that this virus can come back in the fall, so we've got to make sure that we stay close, to make sure that we follow the rules and the regulations, to make sure that the regulations that we've set in place now are followed in the future. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying to you that I believe that Dr. Fauci is the one that behind the scenes is making the decision for the president, and the president's having to acquiesce to follow what he says, because it will look as though he is not paying any attention to the health community, and it will be viewed as and carried out by the fake news that he is doing things that will hurt, harm, and destroy Americans' health as a result of disobeying what Dr. Fauci and other talking heads in the medical community might say. Now, I'm not saying that Dr. Fauci is a bad person or that he is necessarily wrong in some areas, but you recall that he said, and for about 6 weeks, the talking heads in the medical community were saying, for about 6 weeks, saying, we don't need masks, that citizens can go out. In fact, if you don't wear the mask properly, it can hurt rather than help. And after all, you're not going to prevent any spread of the virus by wearing a mask. It is just designed for the healthcare workers to keep them from getting the virus. Well, if a healthcare worker can wear a mask and it keeps them from getting a virus from a patient that they're working with, why can't a human being walking down the street prevent themselves from getting the virus of somebody that might be sneezing on them as you walk down the sidewalk? So now they've acquiesced and said, yes, it is good and we recommend it. And as a result of that recommendation, there are some that are saying you've got to do so, like Laredo, Texas. They passed a resolution now that if you're out in the public, you don't have a mask on, you can be fined $1,000 and spend up to 180 days in jail as a result of that. Churches are ordered to close, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm thankful, as I said before our break, that in the state of Florida, our governor has said that churches are essential. I dealt with that for days on this broadcast. Churches are essential, and we need to not close churches, and yet they were still doing it anyway. But I'm thankful that as a result, and I can say this, ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful for it, thankful that we had pastors that here in this city that got word to the mayor and that got word to our governor, that as a result of that, they sat up and did listen, and that I'm thankful to say today that churches can open for services Sunday. There's some care that needs to be taken for hygiene and for personal care for our congregation and for the members. And in doing so, ladies and gentlemen, we need to say, we're talking about now, ladies and gentlemen, after all of this is over, will the church, will the communities and the churches and society bounce back and be what we were before? Pastors are being arrested and put in jail, even right here in the state of Florida, just for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because in their preaching the gospel, opening the pulpit and preaching, they were going against the orders of government, supposedly. And somehow, some way, there's a mindset, and some believe that the government has the authority to shut the churches down. We talked about that, and it's totally unthinkable. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with the question and comment, please.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. I want to know what you think about forced vaccinations and if that's coming. Let's say that they come out and say you can't buy or sell, you can't get back into the system, I'm laid off right now. What if they come out and they say you can't re-enter, you can't get back in unless you take this swab or you take this vaccination? What do you think about that?
Brother, you hit the target on the head, and I will talk about it now. I plan on talking about it further in the broadcast. I'll say it now. You're 100%, or could I even go a little further and say you're 1,000% correct. The end result of what we see taking place today on a global basis, Bill Gates already has the ID 2020 that was set up. If you've got a driver's license that does not have the chip in it, you cannot travel after October of this year by flight, airplane, any place from the state or from in America, around the globe, without your new ID chip in your driver's license. And right as we speak, Bill Gates is pushing to the WHO, the World Health Organization. He's pushing through Dr. Fauci and others in the CDC. He is pushing for there to be a vaccination. They will have, yes, they will have a vaccination. In that vaccination, there will be that portion of the vaccine. Do you realize most are not listening or not do not recall the broadcast that I did? They can do a vaccination now that will embed through almost invisible ink, the same as would be called a microchip. And according to my Bible, Revelation chapter 13, verses 14 and following, there will be that microchip that will be embedded in the head or the hand, and as doing so, be totally controlled by the dictator called the Antichrist. You're exactly right. The end result of this pandemic will be a requirement, not an option, a requirement for that vaccination to be accepted by every human being in America, and yea, may I say globally. We're watching that take place. We're watching the stage being set for that. And one of the things I might add as a footnote on that, if you're under any kind of insurance plan, whether it is private or government, whether it is Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance, the insurance companies will not be willing to insure you unless you have that vaccination. You will not be able to work. You will not be able to place your child in school unless that child is vaccinated. It is coming as rapidly as a gigantic bullet train down the track toward us today. And this is one of the reasons I say that America will be indelibly, unalterably, irreparably changed after this is over. What do you say to that? I am frightened, not from the standpoint I'm afraid, because God's still in control. I'm frightened, though, as to where we're going in America in relationship to the future of our nation. And ladies and gentlemen, on the heels of that question, here's an article that says, eugenics, eugenicist and population control advocate Bill Gates says the United States must shut down for a minimum of 10 weeks right now to beat the coronavirus. Shut down the country, develop a vaccine, and digital ID. Bill Gates' words are not mine. That's what the New World Order eugenicist Bill Gates says America must do, and they must do it now, this article says. Further, the article says Bill Gates has compiled one of the largest personal fortunes in human history. To say that he lives in ivory tower would be the gross misunderstatement and the type of privilege that he has. He is a lifelong eugenist. He is an abortion and population control advocate, and his heart's desire is to give everyone on the planet a vaccination with a digital ID, and Bill Gates says we need to do it right now, end quote. Here's another article that says, $2 trillion coronavirus stimulus bill mandates that high-tech surveillance and data collection system be created to track every U.S. citizen. President Trump has signed into law a sweeping stimulus bill that will pump emergency funding into the CDC to combat the coronavirus, including a surveillance and tracking system to gather data on how the virus is spreading. Ladies and gentlemen, the point being that there is a mechanism already set into motion that will require every human being in America to receive a vaccination, as our previous caller said. It will be to receive a chip, an ID chip, in some form of identification that on the premise that we'll be able to trace down anybody that is contagious, that we'll be able to separate them out from society to prevent a reoccurrence of this pandemic that is taking place. It's, ladies and gentlemen, it's taking a crisis and using it for the ultimate purpose of molding and making America the way the demonically inspired politicians want it to be for the future. Ladies and gentlemen, would you have ever thought that we are now witnessing a government-forced recession and or future depression? Now, I'm not an alarmist. I am not wanting to sound negative, but I believe we need to speak the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, stand for the truth. What the virus that is deadly, and it is a deadly virus, with a virus that is deadly, yet the total number of deaths, ladies and gentlemen, to date, as projected and presented, the total number of deaths do not come near the number of deaths in and from the flu, the general flu in the United States of America. It is shocking. Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you some stats on that. 2018, about 80,000 died in America from the common flu, if you can call it common flu. That's my term. 2019, about 55,000 died in America from the flu. 2020, as of this date, about 31,000 have died in America from the common flu. In fact, let me just give you some global stats. The coronavirus, 21,000 deaths globally. It's about 30,000 now. Seasonal flu, 113,000. Malaria, 228,000. Suicide, 249,000. Traffic fatalities, about 314,000 deaths so far this year. We're talking about global, and yet they're talking about now these outlandish projections of about 2.2 million Americans could die lest we shut down the nation's economic system and totally destroy the growth and development of the United States of America and destroying the lives of people. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a fantasy world with some governmental agencies and what they're saying and projecting as to what will take place. There's some good that's coming from this. I'm looking at an article that says the coronavirus sends huge numbers of Americans to their knees in prayer. 9 of 10 Americans who pray daily have prayed for an end to the coronavirus. And even 15% of those who never prayed have done the same, according to a new survey. Pew Social Trends, that's Pew Research Group, Pew Social Trends, concluding the virus has impacted spiritual habits, found 55% of all American adults say that they have prayed for an end to the spread of the virus. Large majorities of Americans who pray daily, 86%, and of U.S. citizens, Christians, 73%, have taken to prayer during this outbreak. But some who say they seldom or never pray. They have not had anything to do with religion, do not have any religious background, but some 15% of them say that they have prayed. Ladies and gentlemen, MSNBC. MSNBC, just last week, the anchor asked a pastor that they were interviewing to pray. And the write-up on that was just absolutely comical for what so many had said, because you never thought MSNBC would have anybody on the anchor desk to ask someone, especially a preacher, to pray. But ladies and gentlemen, the truth of the Word of God still holds true. What we ought to do as Christians is found in Hebrews 10:23-25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and as so much more as we see the day approaching. As we see these things coming about, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, as Christians, we ought to pray and continue to pray and seek God's face and ask God to heal our land, as is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13. And 14. Ladies and gentlemen, what do we see taking place? What is happening today is that we're watching a tectonic change in social, ethical, societal, political, religious movement in America. We're watching a tectonic change in every aspect and every area, ladies and gentlemen. God is not asleep. God's still in control. He's not dead. He is still on his throne. He's not on vacation. And ladies and gentlemen, I do believe that God is giving us a wake-up call in America. I believe that this is a wake-up call for us to turn back to God. I believe that God is saying, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh, Luke 21:28. I believe that God is telling us, as you find in Luke 21:25-26, that men's hearts will be failing them as they see these things coming about. I've read article after article after article where we're finding heart attacks and people with major concerns that's committing suicide and calling the suicide hotlines in panic-stricken condition because of what is taking place in society and with this pandemic that is destroying our nation as we once knew it. So what can we expect as we move forward? How should we, and you've heard me say before, and I like Francis Schaeffer's statement, how should we then live? Based on what we're understanding, based on what we're seeing, and I'm just giving a little thumbnail sketch of the big overview of what is taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at one article that says the invisible enemy has a name. And it's an article that says that it's socialism and communism that is the invisible enemy that is taking place. We understand one article here says huge numbers of Americans say that breadlines are in the future for the United States of America. And they're talking about what took place in the Great Depression, ladies and gentlemen. But may I remind us, I believe that as we look back, when we go forward, and then we look back at these events of this pandemic and the panic that it's causing, the hysteria that it's causing, I believe that as we look back at it, our eyes of history will show, we will discover that behind the scenes, there are serious powers at work to destroy America as we know it today, to literally destroy it. Here's an article entitled Cultural Marxism, The Corruption of America. And Pat Buchanan is talking about it. Pat Buchanan says this, United States is undergoing a cultural, moral, and religious revolution. We are two countries now. We are two countries morally, culturally, socially, theologically. Cultural wars do not lend themselves to peaceful coexistence. One side prevails or the other side prevails. The truth is that while we won the Cold War with political economics, communism, we lost the war with cultural Marxism, which now is dominant. Those of us who are traditionalists, we are now the counterculture in America, end quote. And I don't think that I could have stated it any more succinctly and directly than Pat Buchanan's statement on that, ladies and gentlemen. We're watching that tectonic change take place as I speak. We're seeing today, ladies and gentlemen, what is taking place. Here's an article that says, an ever bigger war, the one against expanding government. Our expanding battle against the COVID-19 coronavirus conceals a bigger war, the imperial assault by politicians to wrest the power from the people and permanently expand government in America. A major weapon used against us in this war, as a syndicated radio talk show host Armstrong and Getty mentioned days ago, is what psychologists and brainwashers call an availability cascade, a self-reinforcing cycle of repeated claims designed to alter society's collective beliefs by replacing skepticism with irrational certitude and emotional acquiescence. This technique to control us by stampeding the herd mentally in our heads and endless repetition, availability, has been used by ideological and ideologues to create conformity of thought on such issues as global warming and gun control. Their position is also depicted as dire emergency, something that you should react to with fear and with panic from their perspective. An availability cascade aims to reshape your response to an issue, not by rational thought, understanding, or debate, but by appealing to authority, those superior to you, those that are experts over you, those who know what you as a stupid person cannot comprehend, which is how issues were decided in the Dark Ages, are to urge emotions such as fear that become contagious in our species. Politicians have long evoked or created emergencies to increase their power. And it goes further with greater detail of how that has happened over the historic past, ladies and gentlemen. We're seeing what that writer just said is the very fact that we're watching the emotion of fear set in. And as a result of that, the populace in America, because of fear, are willing to surrender security, render our rights for security. There's a mindset that says that if you keep on repeating it, it must be true. If you have those that come out on the platform every afternoon at 5 o'clock, take an hour and a half to 2 hours to tell us the dangers of the darkness and how we need to stay sequestered in our closets. If that's repeated enough, then we begin to believe it. It's the stampede movement. Gavin Newsom, for example, in California, says we will use this pandemic to usher in the progressive era. Hear me. The governor of California said, we will use this pandemic to usher in progressive era. California Governor Gavin Newsom is definitely going to utilize the Democratic motto to never let a crisis go to waste, as he says, to usher in a new progressive era. In such an update, a Bloomberg reporter asked him if he were going to use the crisis to make California an even more progressive than it already has become. It's working out that it's absolutely true. Newsom takes the scenic route to get to the answer, but when he does get to the answer, he admits fully that, yes, this crisis is a full opportunity to fundamentally change America, end quote. Further quote, he says, there's an opportunity for us to reimagine a progressive era as it pertains to capitalism, Governor Newsom said. So, yes, absolutely. We see that this is an opportunity to reshape the way we do business and what we think and where we how we govern in the United States of America, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, if that doesn't frighten your socks off, nothing will. They're openly saying now that this is what they're wanting to do. Here's an article, the title of it from Bill Gates, calls for the nationwide social isolation policy to slow down the coronavirus. But in doing so, he wants to reshape the America into part of the globalist mindset, into a one world governance. That's the mindset, ladies and gentlemen, of multitudes today. Putin, in fact, has come into the picture. Putin seeking to create a new world order with the rogue states amid the coronavirus crisis, according to the report. The article further says Russian President Vladimir Putin and his administration are using the coronavirus crisis to spread conspiracy theories in a bid to subvert the West and to create a new world order. Now, that's not just me babbling. That's not just my philosophy or philosophical rhetoric. That's what others are saying, ladies and gentlemen, that are in the position, that are basically in powerful positions across America and around the globe, that's taking the same position, that this is what they're wanting to do. In fact, here's an article. The United Nations wants a 10% global tax, and they want it now. The United Nations is calling on an international response to the coronavirus outbreak that will spend at least 10% of global gross domestic products. There's no time to lose, this writer says, no time to lose in the monitoring and the mounting of the most robust cooperative health response the world has ever seen. And the only way that can be done is by a one world governance, a global body, end quote. Coming out of a wonderful place called the UN. In fact, here's an article by a communist socialist student in one of our universities. Says student op-ed, the coronavirus is an opportunity to completely alter American society. And it goes on with detail about how this particular student in the writing suggests that the virus can be used to alter the course of America and to totally change society as it is presently known in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the goal. That's the direction that this is headed in. That's what we're seeing taking place today. And many of the major movers and shakers behind the scene, whether you hear that from the microphone, publicized or not, that is the fact of what is taking place. Here's an article that says the government is set to release contact tracking. Our previous caller touched on it in a similar fashion. Government set to release contact, that's C-O-N-T-A-C-T, contact tracking application, which would detect nearby virus carriers. The government is preparing to release a new application, that's a new app for iPhones and for your computers, etc., which alerts people if they come too close to someone who has tested positive of the COVID-19 virus. The contact tracking app will be released earlier, either just before or just after the lockdown is lifted, according to several people who are close with the knowledge of the project. HHS bosses hope to the app will attract more than 50% of the population, as larger numbers of the people using it will find it necessary to be able to work together effectively. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the article is saying that if you want to be able to trust someone that you're near, or that you're walking, you're talking with, that you're in school with, or in church with, or in business with, if you want to be able to get near to them, you've got to have the application on your handheld device so that you know whether or not they have a virus, so that you know whether you can be in contact with them or not. That is a device, ladies and gentlemen. That is an idea that's being planted in the minds and the hearts of the people in America, even as I speak, that ultimately will cause major separation of society after this virus is over, after it has supposedly been squelched. We are watching the hand of demonic movers and shakers behind the scenes with a demonic plan to take total control of the globe and warning the global. It's coming out of people like George Soros funding it. It's coming out of people like Bill Gates funding it. It's coming out of people like Gates and Bill Gates and George Soros and those that are taking their dollars for being continually elected by the political system. Here's an article that says, purposeful exposure to the coronavirus could trigger terror charges. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm wanting to bring this to a trickle-down wrap-up in this sense. We're watching these things take place, and in doing so, it's indelibly changing the mindset of Americans as to how we relate to people, how we relate to God, how we relate to church, how we relate to government and what government says, and whether we are to bend and bow and obey without any questions whatsoever. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to come a day when there will be that forced vaccination, coming a day when there will be that forced tracking system so that it's on the basis that we're going to protect you. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that in many states today, an ID chip is required to be put in your dog or your cat or your pet's ear or the loose part of the fleshy part of the neck on the basis that if that dog gets loose or it's found, we can track it and determine if that dog has the proper vaccination and the proper health records, et cetera, et cetera. And it's being advocated now for in some states of the medical people in some of the states that we do that with babies, that we put it in the baby's ear, the back of the baby's neck, so that if that baby gets lost, if that baby gets in some way abducted, that we can find your child. And people are embracing that, saying, yes, it's needful, it's necessary, it'd be wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm telling us today is the trickle down, the bottom line is America will be unindelibly, absolutely changed. It will be inalterably changed. It will be something that will not be reversed and be able to go back to it. Government will have set the standard, and society will be submissive to that standard. Churches can then be able to be closed at governmental whim. What will be the next virus? What will be the next crisis that the government can say, churches, you've got to shut down for 30 days? We're setting the standard. Society will be monitored, and that monitoring will be for health purposes, and everybody will embrace it. People will always be concerned about how close they can get to each other because they may or may not have some type of virus that they're afraid of could be harmful. Our infirmed and our elderly will be disposed of by the government without any question. And ladies and gentlemen, that will be a problem for the future. Here's an article that says, former governmental advisor says, those over 90 years of age should not be clogging our hospitals. Here's another one, ladies and gentlemen, that says grim rules now for the New York City paramedics. Don't even bring the cardiac arrest patients to the ER for them to be revived. A regional EMT group has issued new guidelines that are almost unthinkable, even in these days. If someone is in cardiac arrest, you can't even revive them in the field. Don't bring them to the emergency room. It's the order now in New York City. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, top cop urges citizens to call 911 if they're insulted by anything that is taking place, insulted amid this pandemic. It is that you call 911, you report on your neighbor, you report on someone that you think might be out to harm you or to hurt you. We're recasting, ladies and gentlemen, the way society, the way we treat each other, the way we view things based on what the government is setting place even today. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. God is still on the throne. God's not gone to sleep. He's not gone on vacation. Thank you for listening today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them. 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.